going to try and finish the first part of the dua today. So we go to the second paragraph, which begins with Sajada Wajhi Ilaika. So there are three words there. Sajada is from the word, you know, sujood. Allahumma laka sujudi. Sajda is the same word. Prostration in English. And prostration, as you know, can be done in many different ways. Amongst the our Muslim brothers and sisters, you see that it is a full prostration where, very interesting again, because we are into numbers, in a full prostration, 7 points of your body touch the floor. 2 hands, 2 knees, 2 feet, and your forehead. 7. And if you read, yes, if you read Pinasir Kisra's book, what you did, you'll find out more about that, inshallah, when it is published with Mullah's blessing and grace. So, sajda means prostration. But a prostration is simply a symbol. What is it a symbol of? I mean, is God happy that we all touch the floor with our forehead and 6 other parts of our body? Or is he happy only that we bend our heads because maybe we have Jamaat Khana where there is no room for us to bend? Or maybe we have back problems and we can't do it? All sorts of reasons, right? So, sajda is a symbol of obedience. It's a symbol of obedience. When God, after blowing his spirit or nur into Hazrat Adam, and he said to the angels, prostrate to Adam, he didn't mean do this physical symbol only. He meant obey him, follow his guidance, keep on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, progress on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, don't wander off, as we've just heard. So prostration is a symbol, and I want to give you 3 ayats, which I would like you to look at in your own leisure time, and that way understand the message of the Quran more and more. So first and foremost, look at ayat number 59, Surah 59, ayat 7. And this, the context of the ayat is about the distribution of the spoils of war. You know, Prophet Muhammad was forced to fight many defensive wars in order to protect Islam and to enable it to spread. And after every victorious event, whatever was left behind by the enemies was shared amongst the people. So the context of this ayat is about that. But the words, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَكُزُوهُ فَانْتَهُ, you know, these are strong words. Do what the prophet tells you and do not do what he forbids you. So you have to lift out the sentence, do what the prophet tells you and do not do what he forbids you. Then you have the ayah, surah number 3, and ayat number 31. The Prophet, in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, if you love Allah, follow me, and Allah will love you. So that's a very important one as well. There's also the context of Hazrat Ibrahim, where he says that those who follow me are of me. Yeah? So if you want to reach the level of the Imam's light, you have to follow him. And then finally, look at Surah 96, Ayat 19, there's a lovely phrase in there, Wasjud Waqtarib. Wasjud Waqtarib. And whenever I mention this to groups where there are more, there are quite a few representatives from the East African Jamaat, then I always remind them that those of us who remember a little bit of our Swahili, we know the word Karibu. Karibu means come close, enter my house, come close. So, wasjud waqtarib means prostrate or obey the guide of the time and come near to God. It's beautiful. Wasjud waqtarib. So, sajda has this meaning of obedience. It's an interesting phrase in the dua. Sajda wajhi ilayka. Waj in Arabic means face. And that's why Nasir Khisrau has called his book The Face of Religion. Why? Because the face is what you recognize a person from. Nowadays, you know, in this pandemic, you have to wear masks when you go to Jamaat Khan or wherever. And it's hard for us to recognize people because of the mask. Yes? So to recognize the face is to recognize the personality. So the face represents the identity of that person, the individuality of that person. It also means focus your attention, because all our senses, external senses, are all on our face. Eyes, nose, taste, hearing, right? Only touch. Touch is the only one which is not on our face. So all our attention, focus, should be towards obeying the guide of the time. Vileka is obey him. Turn your faces, turn your attention, turn your focus towards him. Vileka. Okay? And then, watawakaltu alayka. I trust in you. Tawakkal. Tawakkaltu is from the same word as wakil. Wakil. You know, we have that Gujarati word, wakil, also means an advocate. So an advocate, you know, it's not only in terms of law and matters of law, it's also advocacy in many other things. And we're here, we are saying that I trust in you, that we trust in God. But what a difference between the trust of Mormons and the trust of prophets, asas, imams, and peers and pujjats. Their trust is at the level of Mi'raj. And you know, the Holy Quran is full of examples of the tawakkal of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, because the Quran is actually a description of the Holy Prophet's spiritual journey. And it tells you again and again in very clear verses. For instance, when you come to the fourth part of our dua, when you reach that level of tawakkal, of God, then your hand becomes the hand of God. Yeah, in the fourth part, we are told to do bayya on the hand of the Prophet and of course his progeny. Why? Because it is the hand of God. Yadullah. Yadullah. So that is the highest point of tawakkal. But we also at our level have this tawakkal, and as we progress, our tawakkal also gets stronger. Our trust in God becomes stronger. Yeah? Okay. And then minka kuwati. From you is my strength. Obviously. Everything we have is his, right? Our strength is from him. And wa anta ismati ya rabbal alameen. Wa anta ismati ya rabbal alameen. And it is you who are my refuge, my protection. You, ismati, refuge, protection, safeguarding. You know, this is all entirely in the divine will. And we are asking, this is a wonderful prayer. Now, we end with Ya Rabbal Alamin. I want to point this out to you because it's a very common mistake. You know, in the Surah Al-Fatiha, in the very first part, of which this is all for part, it is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Bil, right? Here it is Ya Rabbal Bal Alamin. That's because the grammar changes here because of the little word Ya, or the sustainer of the worlds. So Rabbil in the Surah Al-Fatiha, but in the second paragraph, Ya Rabbal Alamin. Please remember that, right? And go back to your notes and look up what are these worlds. Are they only stars and planets and whatever? Or are they also include the personal world, the human beings who are the highest creation of Allah? Okay, so that's the second paragraph. Now we go to the third paragraph, which starts with Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin Mustafa. So this is the salawat. It's in great detail in this paragraph, phrase by phrase. So first we start with Allahumma, O Allah. Salli Allah. I hope that even though we are on Zoom, that you are able to hear that I'm pronouncing all the double consonants. In Arabic, you pronounce all the double consonants. Our Jamaat says Allah. It's not Allah for God. It's Allah. Two L's. Allah. Two L's. In the same way, Allahumma. Umma. Two M's. Like in Muhammad. Muhammad. I know it's going to be a bit difficult in the beginning, but try and do it. And then the second word is Swalli. Swalli. L. L, two L's. Allah Muhammadin il Mustafa. So this little word Allah, this is causing havoc for people, right? The beauty and the challenge of the Arabic language, which now some of you are, you know, taking on the challenge of learning, is that words have more than one meaning. It's the same in our English language as well. You know, there are shades of meaning. Or not only that, it depends on which context you use that word, correct? So this word Allah, for that, I want you, if you have your Qur'ans there, to look at this, it's in Surah 7. There are two ayahs, number 63 as well as 69. They both start with the same words. Do you marvel, do you wonder that a reminder has come unto you from your Lord by means of a man among you, that he may warn you? Yes? Same words. Surah 7, ayat 63 and 69. Now, the English will not help you. If you have the transliteration, then in both of them, you will see wa ajibtum anja'akum zikrum min rabbikum Allah julim minkum. If you see that little word Allah in the transliteration, it is A-L-A-A. This is the same word as this here, Allahumma salli Allah, Allah. So yes, you can say Allah means on, let us send blessings on. But it also means, depending on the context, by means of or through somebody. So here, the correct translation for us would be, O Allah, send blessings through Muhammad the Chosen to us. Whereas our Jamaat has this understanding that we are blessing the Imam and his progeny, the Prophet and his progeny, by saying salawat. This is a very, very common thing in the Jamaat. And where does it come from? I think it comes from this particular ayah, which is in Surah 33. Please, can you save your questions for the end? I know you put your hand up, Nazni, but I will let you ask this question at the end, okay? So I don't interrupt my flow. So, can we, why does the Jamaat think that we are sending blessings on the Prophet and his progeny? If you go to Surah 33 and look at 56, ayat 56, which, by the way, is included in our Al-Fatiha during the Mayyat ceremony. It is included in our Ziyarat, Namaz Ziyarat, when somebody passes away. This is the one إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Yeah? Even if you don't know the ayat, I think the sound will be familiar to you because we hear it quite regularly. What does this mean? Indeed, Allah and His angels shower or send blessings on the Prophet. Who sends blessings on the Prophet? Allah and His angels. The second sentence, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O you who believe, you should also send blessing on Him. Now, what do you think? I want you to understand this. If Mormons can also send blessings on the Prophet, then we are in the same class as Allah and His angels. Would you accept that? No. Particularly because, if you look at the Quran, and we have looked at this ayah before, Surah 21, ayah 107, that God has sent the Holy Prophet as a mercy for all the worlds. Inna arsalnaka rahmatan lil alameen. God has sent the Prophet as a mercy for all worlds. And here are we, very indigent, very poor Mormons with lots of shortcomings. How can we send blessings on Him? No, it's not possible. Allah and His angels send blessings on the Prophet, but we ask to follow the Prophet so that those blessings are also coming to us. So what we are saying is, oh Allah, send blessings by means of or through Muhammad and his progeny to us, because we need these blessings. And what is the greatest blessing for which we prayed in the Surah Al-Fatiha? The greatest blessing is divine guidance. And now you will understand why we recite salawat so much when somebody passes away. Because we are actually praying, Ya Mola, even though this person of our family is now in the spiritual world, keep on guiding his soul. You know, I hope that you all will all agree with me that this makes a lot more sense than the exoteric meaning which we have been following, that all you who believe, send blessings on Prophet and his progeny, and salute him with a worthy salutation. Sallu has two meanings, in other words. Sallu also has two meanings. One meaning is prayer, blessing, and the other meaning is following, obeying. And that little word Allah, which is so tricky, yes, it does have the meaning upon, but it also has the meaning through, by means of. Okay? And so, Muhammadin al-Mustafa, where does this word chosen, Mustafa, come to? And we've also looked at that ayat, I think, quite a few times in our different sessions throughout this pandemic time. This is from Surah 3, ayat 33 and 34, its continuation, which goes like, indeed Allah chose. Inna Allah hastafa Adama. The word hastafa is the infinitive to choose, or chose, past tense. God chose Adam and Noah and the family of Abraham and the family of Imran above all his creatures, their descendants or offspring, one of another. So this word Mustafa, chosen, comes from that ayah. And Prophet Muhammad had that title from God. So we would translate this as, O Allah, send your blessings, your mercy, your guidance, everything to the chosen Muhammad, whom, of course, Allah has sent as a mercy for all the world. And then the salawat continues, Wa Allah, Well, Allah, Aliyinin. So there's the little word Allah again. And through Ali, the favorite. The favorite. This word comes from a word, Arabic word, irtaza. And actually, I have written a little bit about it in my paper on Hazrat Ali, which I believe you may all be aware of. If not, it is out now. So Murtaza is Maulana Ali's title. It comes from the word irtaza. Right? So, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin al-Mustafa wa ala Aliyin al-Murtaza wa ala al-A'immat al-At'ar wa ala al-A'immat al-At'ar. Again, the word Allah, but because it is linked to the definite article, it becomes alal. So it is Allah and Al spoken together, alal, alal. And through the pure imams, a'imma, which is also very difficult to pronounce. It is normally pronounced wrong. It is a'immatil, a'immatil, two M's, a'immatil ataha, to the pure imams. Okay, this is your complete salawat. Prophet Muhammad, Maulana Ali, and the pure imams. Now, I wonder if, we do have a bit of time. I could bring this point in, but it is slightly complex. I hope that you will bear with me. Do you know that one of the titles of Maulana Ali is Kausar? Kausar. And there is a short surah called Surah Kausar in the Holy Quran at the end, which are all these surahs which are very short. Yes, surah called Kausar. Now I think it's 108, I'm not mistaken. No, it's not. It's not 108. I can't find it. Oh, it's 108. 108. Do any of you remember that for the 80th birthday of our beloved Imam, this surah was sent to the Jamaat and it was recited on the Salgirah day. And it's a very short surah, easy to learn. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna atainaka al-kawsar faswalli li rabbika wanhar inna shaniyaka huwa al-abtar. Short, very short surah, but full of meaning. Full of meaning. You know, the word Kausar has many meanings again. It's supposed to be a spring in paradise where the book of God and the Ithrat or the progeny of the prophet will always remain together until they meet the holy prophet at the pond of Kausar. So it is a pond of Kausar is in paradise. That's one meaning. Another meaning of Kausar is abundant progeny. But unfortunately, we didn't have the esoteric translation during that recitation. We had the exoteric translation. And what is the exoteric translation? It is, so I'll read out the three sentences in English. Lo, we have given you abundance. Inna atainaka al-kawsar. We have given you abundance. So pray unto your Lord and sacrifice. Lo, it is your enemy and not you who is without posterity. It is your enemy. This is addressed to the prophet. The story goes, this is very historical as well as important. I don't know how much history you know, but the Holy Prophet Muhammad is supposed to have had two sons. And both of them passed away during their infancy, right? Because infant mortality was very common. So the Prophet Muhammad did not have male progeny himself. So what did the Arabs, you know, like all these communities now, even including our own community, you know, we were always disappointed if a girl was born. Now, alhamdulillah, that is gradually gone from our culture. So the Arabs had that same patriarchal, you know, male-dominant society. They're still doing some parts. And so what did they do, the enemies of the Prophet? They used to taunt. They used to taunt the Prophet and say, you are the great Prophet of God. Look, you don't have a tail. They used to use the word tail. You have no descendants. Meaning abtar. That's the word in the Surah Kausar. Abtar. Yeah? And God is telling him, no, no, no. You are not tailless. Your enemies will be tailless. Meaning their progeny will vanish. But your progeny will remain in the world forever. Because Kausar is the name of the Imam Ali, and from Imam Ali, his progeny have to be present in the world to be the guides, the hadis, the imams, the shuhada, the witnesses of the people. This line of imamah cannot vanish. That's the message of the Holy Quran. The progeny of the Prophet can never end. This Surah Kausar is proof of it. And Kausar, abundance, is the opposite of abtar. Look at the rhyming of the Quran as well. Kausar, wanhar, abtar. Kausar and abtar are opposites. Okay? So it's a very important. And this now, what I'm going to tell you, will be also new to you, right? That in the exoteric communities of Islam, they usually say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin Mustafa. Full stop. They don't carry on. But no self-respecting Shia will ever stop at Muhammadin al-Mustafa. He will always carry on. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin al-Mustafa. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Wa Ali Muhammad. That's our version. Wa Ali Muhammad. Al, the progeny of the Prophet. So that is a shorter version. And this here in our dua is a longer version. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin al Mustafa wa ala Ali al Murtaza wa ala al A'immatil Athari. And then it continues. Wa ala Hujjatil Amri Swahibi Zamani Walasr. So four levels are mentioned. The Prophet, Maulana Ali, the holy or pure imams, and the imam of the time, who is the proof, hujjat, proof of divine command. Because this is coming in the second part, Ulil Amri. The divine command, Hujjatil Amri. Swahibi Zamani is the Sahib, is the master, the lord of the physical time, Zaman. That's why we call him Imam, Imam is Zaman. And also of the spiritual time, Asr. Yeah? Asr means spiritual time, because the physical time, which depends on the revolution and the rotation of the planet, is quite different from spiritual time. Spiritual time. If you want to understand spiritual time, then think of your dreams. You know, it may be a blazing hot day, but that night you could sleep and dream of snowfall. Snowfall. So you see, your dream time is quite different from your physical time. Okay? So that's all I can say about the spiritual time. So, Swahibi Zamani wal Asr. Imamin al-Hadiril Mawjud. This repetitious Hadiril Mawjud. He has to be present and existing. Hadiril Mawjud. Maulana Shah Karim al-Husayni. Allahumma laka sujudi wa ta'ati. So, alhamdulillah, I think we have finished the first part today. And I think that a hand was raised earlier, so we can ask for questions now, Rosmin, because there may be quite a few questions in this, yeah? And then I can elaborate during the questions if somebody has not understood entirely what I've been saying.